They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
I guess that's what the whole point of this was, for her to grow a pair, but whatever, fine.
Right. We're recording on a Sunday. I had a big night last night and I probably drank a little more than I should have. Not feeling top notch, but you know what, guys? I'm going to pull through because we have a show to do.
Yeah, you're not a quitter.
No. No. I can recover pretty well.
Well, I'm like getting used to maybe, but.
I mean, I feel like I'm doing my best.
That's all we can ask for, you know?
Just doing my best.
I realized once I got into like probably my late 20s. I was like, okay, I can drink, but I can't quite recover as well as I could.
Right, right.
And then when I got into my 30s, fuck that.
Yeah, I know. Because
I just, I could not recover at all.
And I'm getting close, pretty close to 40.
Yeah.
So
your body's like, girl.
It's revolting against me is what's happening. It's like, you just need to stop. Just think about what you're doing.
What your body doesn't know is that you're not going to learn. It's fine.
I know. And I did. I knew my limit.
Uh-huh. And you went past it?
And I went past it. Mm, like, my body told me. It told me. Mm-hmm. I was like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And they're like, oh, I'll show you. Next day, feel like ass.
Uh-huh.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, how was your weekend?
It wasn't like that.
Oh, okay.
It was fine. It was, I went and did some fall festivities with some friends yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So that was cute. Did a little pumpkin picking.
Uh-huh.
Went into a corn maze, which you know I fucking hate. It was during the day, so it was fine.
Right.
But then I'm like, we're just like wandering aimlessly. This is dumb.
Well, it's probably not even corn. They don't do corn
well,
at this time of year.
It was kind of, but it was like all the corn was off of the stalks or whatever they're called.
They have different kinds, though.
Because it's not like dense. Like,
right.
Like up north, if there's like corn mazes, like you can't see through the
right.
corn. Like it's dense and creepy. Here, it's like we're walking and like some of the corn was like, I don't know, 7 feet tall. And then it gets to a point of where it's like 4 feet. And I'm like, what are we doing? I can see over all of this. And then we're getting toward the end. And I'm like, I can literally see like the tractor, like the picture op supplies over there. And I'm like, I can see. Okay, we're close to the end. I can see people. I can see everybody. So like,
I know how to get out of here.
And then it's always an instance of where you're like, if you had to panic, you could just go through the maze. Like,
right.
You don't have to follow the path. Mm-hmm. You could just walk through it.
Right. You can like, jump over the lines.
Coming and just leave. Yeah, exactly right. So it was cute, though. It was fun. I got some cute little mini like pumpkin gourds for like, I always get them every year for like my counter.
Yeah.
Right off fall. They're cute.
I haven't done any festivities yet.
I love fall festivities. I do too.
We've just been so busy.
Mm-hmm.
I think my husband got pumpkins from Publix.
Oh.
I'm hoping we actually get to a pumpkin patch just to like do the thing.
Just to do the fall festivity. Yeah. We have like the rest of October and all of November too. So you can be fall festive in November.
Yeah, but they only have them until like the end of October.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, lame.
Oh. Because I want to carve pumpkins. And I want to do it before.
Well, you do Halloween. A contest like every year too. You guys all compete with each other.
The funny thing is that my
you
children,
always win.
Of course I always win uh-huh. because I have the best one. But the thing is that the kids pick their own designs out. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that usually has to execute it though.
Oh, so you win regardless, basically. It's just you having three pumpkins versus your husband's one pumpkin.
Right. I mean, they help me.
Sure.
But I mean, I have to have the knives. They're not old enough to like... They're going to stab themselves.
You're like, I do not want it carved that way, okay? You sit over there while I finish your pumpkin.
I am not going to take you to the hospital. You just sit there and think about what you did. You didn't do anything.
This is now my pumpkin, okay? And I will win regardless. So thanks.
The competition's rigged. It's fine.
But also pretty steep.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I can't pick their designs for them.
No.
They pick it.
Right. And then you just carve it.
Exactly.
So your chances of winning are pretty high.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
See what I did there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well done. But somehow, like every time you post pictures and I vote for your pumpkins every uh-huh. year, I always know which one you did. I just like can look at the four of them and I always know which one you did.
I know.
And it's not because you're my friend and I love you, but it is my favorite one every time. And that's the one I vote for. And it's not because I know it's yours, just because it's the best.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
I mean, because I'm pretty fantastic.
Don't I know it?
And we kind of think alike. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what I'm you like, I like, and what you like, I like.
That's Courtney's pumpkin. It's pretty great. I will vote for that one.
Maybe I'll post one on social media. Maybe I'll show you what my pumpkin looks like.
Yeah, carve it. Are you going to carve a pumpkin of my face?
Okay.
Courtney, that sounds great. How nice of you.
I didn't say I was going
to. I'll get a picture for
okay.
you. Okay. And why do you just stencil it.
Why do I need a picture?
Because I want the face to be right. I want my right angle on the right side. I'll make sure you have a good picture.
If I was a really good pumpkin carver, I would totally do that, but I'd fuck it up.
I think I'd be creeped out by it, actually. Right? It'd be creepy. I take it back. You can carve whatever you want.
Just not my face.
Just not my face anymore. I take it back. Oh, maybe you could do a Tipsy Pod pumpkin.
I could try.
Okay, that'd be cool. And if it's successful, we'll post on social media. If it's not, pretend it didn't happen. Pretend we didn't talk about
it. We'll just show you a smashed pumpkin and that'll be what it was.
Oh, no, it fell.
It fell. Oh, no. It's so sad.
Well, here's another pumpkin I carved. All right. What did we watch this week?
We watched The Babadook.
Ba, 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 Babadook.
Ba, 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 I would normally join in. I'll let you finish.
It gets a little too high after that. I just can't get to that level. So
I would normally join in singing with you.
Oh, no.
But here's my problem. Ooh. This movie infuriated me.
Interesting. I knew you didn't like it, but infuriate. Tell me more.
Tell me why.
Tell me more. Anyway.
So it was not my favorite movie.
Okay.
And it's one of those, I think the problem is that it's been so hyped up.
Oh, it was really hyped up.
I mean, because anytime we've asked for people for suggestions, they're always like, this is one of them.
From like the start, like one of the first Instagram posts that we made was like, give us a movie suggestion. And The Babadook was on there.
Yes.
So this movie is always recommended to us. And we're like, we're getting to it. We're doing it. We're doing The Babadook.
We're doing it. And
you didn't like it.
It fell pretty short for me.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't like the creature. I didn't like the fact that it was about a storybook. I didn't like the fact that I didn't like it. I didn't like the little boy. I'm having a problem with it.
Well, the little boy was so freaking annoying.
Oh my God.
I have in my notes. I'm like, shut up. He's so many times.
He's so rude.
Oh my God. Obnoxious.
I'm going to punch him in his face.
I didn't hate it.
Oh, that's
good. I know you were going to ask me. So,
Stephanie, did you like the movie?
I didn't hate it.
Oh, okay.
I don't feel as strongly about it as you did.
Yeah.
I actually did think it was like creative at times. Some of like the scene transitions I thought were cool. I agree. I did not think the monster was scary, but what I did think was like creepier about it was like the psychological shit that happens with the Babadook and the monster or whatever. So, as we talked about on our show before, sometimes the scarier movies are the things you don't see.
Yeah.
And it's like left to your imagination because that's your mind's going to make it what's creepy for you, you know?
Correct.
Because even the Babadook, the monster itself in this movie, I'm sure there's some people out there who saw it and were really creeped out by it.
Of course. So, and that's what I've heard.
Right. And it's like, even for me, I didn't think the monster was creepy looking. I just thought it was like cartoony looking. So it's like from a book, right?
Right.
But if they didn't show it and they showed like its view or like, which they didn't show it a lot, very few times.
They didn't, but it just made me mad.
But like any instance where it's like anything that's possessing someone or something like that and you don't see it, your mind is making it worse because your mind knows your own fears, you know? Right. So it's like, it's 10 times worse for you if your mind is filling in the blanks. Mm-hmm. So I think in certain aspects, that's where the movie for me was successful because there were weird shit happening and you just didn't see it.
Okay.
So,
I'll give that to you.
I didn't dislike the movie. I thought it was an easy watch. It went by fast for me. I was like, all right, cool.
Well, then this was a bad movie, wasn't it? Because if it was an easy watch.
It was an easy watch.
No, we don't need easy watches around here. We need scary.
I mean, we've watched movies before that I didn't find scary, but I thought they were good.
Maybe it's just, I'm just so angry about this movie. You're
enraged by it.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like this. Okay, we're going to get through this. We're gonna get through this together.
And hopefully we'll be able to discover if Courtney likes the movie or not, because I don't think she's being clear on her feelings. If only she was like, you know,
transparent,
so open about it. Yes. Oh my God. If only she wasn't speaking in code.
If she was just an open book, but bump.
Book. Okay. Before we hop in,
yes.
Couple reminders for everybody.
What are they?
Oh, I would love to tell you. Okay. Okay, tipsypod.com. Everything for our show is on there. Guys, every week, same thing. Tipsypod.com.
Tipsypod.com. Tipsypod.com.
What?
Tipsypod.com.
Oh. Tipsypod.com.
Tipsypod.
Get on there. Live on there. Everything you need to know about our show is on there. All of our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. You can access it all on there. You can follow us. You can rate and review and subscribe. Of course, 5 stars.
Yes, because that is the way that people find us.
We want people to find us.
Get on there.
And give us 5 stars because, come on, guys. Come on.
How many episodes have you already listened to?
Come on. Okay. You can also find other ways to support our show if you want to buy us a glass of wine. That sounds freaking great.
Yes, we love wine. I mean, I could probably limit myself at this point.
Just for today.
But, you know, on a normal basis.
Right. And if our friends buy us a glass, I mean, we're going to drink it. Regardless if you're hungover or not.
Of course. I'm not a quitter. I do not quit.
So you can also access that from our website. It is from buymeacoffee.com. You can go there too. A glass of wine is $3, and $1 of that goes to the Puppies and the Kitties of Humane Society. And you know we love the puppies and kitties, guys. So support us and the puppies and kitties.
Get on there.
Another way you can support our show is Tipsy Pod merch. We're wearing some swag today.
We are.
I have some classic They're Terrified and Tipsy, and Courtney has the big red oval that says They're Terrified and Tipsy in the middle.
It is so big.
Courtney is constantly busting Dustin's chops about the design on this shirt. But the funny thing is they both got the exact same shirt.
Yeah.
And it has like the big red oval across the chest. Uh-huh. And they're joking today about how it's like, it would be like a stop sign on a highway.
Basically, it's what it is. It's the size of it.
We want people to know our show.
I feel like I should have like flashing lights around
neon it. Neon arrows pointing. You don't need it with that shirt. It's very obvious.
It accentuates my chest area.
Oh, it does. Well.
Yes, it does.
It really
I feel like everybody's
it.
Staring at me right now.
I know I am. And you can also access our Patreon from our website. There are 3 different tiers for our Patreon. You pick the one that works best for you, and all of them help support our show. So we appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
And you get all types of goodies on our Patreon. You get ad-free episodes. You get episodes a day before everybody else. You get exclusive content on like interviews we've done that aren't on our normal feed, but they are on our Patreon. And those have videos with them, and those are super fun. Mm-hmm. And you also get to suggest movies that we watch. And then when we come up with a list of those movie suggestions, you get to vote on the one we watch.
I love that.
Uh-huh.
How fun is that?
And then we will give you a little bit of a shout out of like, hey, this is a Patreon request.
Thank you. Thank you for scaring the shit out of Stephanie. Thank you.
Or pissing Courtney off.
Or pissing
so
me off.
So whoever suggested the Babadook, successful for you.
Somebody won.
All right, should we hop in?
We should.
Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Of course.
A single mother and her child fall into a deep well of paranoia when an eerie children's book titled Mr. Babadook manifests into their home.
Yeah, it does.
It sure does.
Yeah.
But a lot of my questions are like, was it there before they read the book? Or like, was it only there when they read the book?
Who the fuck knows? How did it show up? Because apparently she didn't buy it. Although, as we get into a little bit farther in the story, she apparently bought some firecrackers and didn't realize that she bought them.
Yeah. She's not a great mom in parts of this movie.
No, a lot of it.
And I don't want to mom shame anybody. Not a mom. Don't want to mom shame. But like, there's a lot of responsibility that she doesn't take charge of.
Yeah.
So we might be a little judgy about her.
I mean, yes, I have bad parenting throughout this entire thing. Yeah. And there's a lot of hashtag bad parenting, which is on the first page that I'm going to be getting to.
And we get there's trauma. There's definitely trauma.
I get
it. And we understand that like people deal with situations differently.
Absolutely.
But
I mean.
Amelia.
Samuel.
Mm. We got some comments for you.
Okay.
Courtney, get us started.
All right. Let's go ahead and get in. Okay. So we start off with a woman. Her name is Amelia. Uh-huh. She's breathing very heavily, driving in a car. When the window just shatters, the glass is thrown in her face. She's being jerked around. And when she like looks over to the passenger side of the car, we see a man sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know who he is at this point, but we hear a muffled child's voice say, Mom, Mommy. And then it looks like she's like free falling from the ceiling into her bedroom and lands on her bed.
Yep.
She wakes up. Obviously, this was a dream. And her son, Samuel, is at the side of her bed telling her that he had another dream again.
Oh, God.
Okay. So she does what a good mother possibly may do.
Sure.
She walks him around the house and shows him that there's nothing hiding under the bed or in the closet or whatever.
They have like this nightly routine.
Right.
That is clear. Armoire, nothing in there. Cool.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then we get to the bad parenting moment that I feel like it's not great.
Yeah.
She calms him down finally. Yes. Right. Which is good. Then she starts a story of the three little pigs where the wolf dies in the pot of boiling water. I just feel like that is not the best nursery rhyme.
Not when he's scared already.
Right. Can we just do something a little bit lighthearted? No. Not something where an animal dies in a scalding, boiling pot of water.
No. But then also her bad parenting continues because he just ends up sleeping in her bed. And I'm like, okay, so my first thought was your child's manipulating you. That was my first thought.
Right.
Because clearly this bedtime routine of this monster and them checking all these locations was not the first time they were doing it.
Right.
So my first thought is, okay, if a kid can see that he could end up sleeping in his mom's bed, not to be sleeping alone, and if he does this routine over and over again, he's going to keep doing it.
Right.
So I was like, okay, he's already taking advantage of you.
Well, because there's like the co-sleeping thing where they sleep with him all the time. But apparently, this is not what this is. He has his own bed. We 100%. Know that he sleeps by himself. Yes. So it's not
like. He has his own room completely. Yes. And he has like, oh, I had a bad dream. And she's like, okay, well, check all this thing. Come to my bed. I'll read you a nursery rhyme. Then we'll go to bed in my bed.
Right.
And I'm like, that's just manipulation. But okay.
So he wants to keep reading the same story over and over again. And then he has like his leg like over his mother. Ugh. And then he starts grinding his teeth.
And while he's grinding his teeth, he has his hands on her throat. Guys, and he's like grabbing her throat and grinding. No. All of it. Okay. The combination noise. Of the noise of the teeth, the weird throat grab, and like the leg. No.
No.
Get out of my bed. No. Nope.
No I don't thanks. Want people touching me when I'm sleeping anyways. Cuddling? That's not for me.
And then like the mouth noise. You know I hate mouth noises. And just, I'd be like, you gots to go. I don't care if there's a monster room or not. You are grinding your teeth near that monster, not near my ears. Bye.
Now who's the angry one?
When it comes to mouth noises, well, I get angry.
All right. So the next morning we hear the alarm go off. Mm-hmm. Amelia doesn't hear it. She just kind of keeps laying in bed. And we see that Samuel isn't in his bed. He is actually downstairs in the basement. Cutting wood with a saw, building something.
Why does she have all these tools?
I mean, she probably has them, but I mean.
Well, yeah, maybe her husband, because guys, her husband passes away, but like, maybe it was like her husband's like work stuff down there, but like, why is her child able to access that stuff?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay.
Well, he sneaks back up and finally Amelia wakes up. She hears some like loud banging and crashes downstairs.
Yeah.
So she jumps out of bed and then sees that her son has made a monster-killing weapon that catapults balls like a slingshot.
It's like a backpack that has a catapult on it, and he loads it and like pulls this thing, and it shoots something off of this backpack.
Yeah.
One, very creative kid. I give him credits for his engineering and his creativity. Good for you.
Right.
But maybe you can like direct him in a way to use his creativity that's a child-safe activity.
That's good.
And not
good
making
point.
Weapons.
Right. Hashtag bad parenting. Yeah, so he's like, Mom, watch this. And she's like, no. And then all of a sudden, he like slings a ball and it goes through the window.
Yeah.
She's not happy.
No.
I wouldn't be happy.
I'd be pissed.
So as she is getting him dressed for the day, he is dressed in a magician's costume, mm-hmm. doing magic tricks. She tells him that this monster thing that he has been doing has got to stop.
Yeah.
He goes in to like hug her and then she pushes him away. She says, don't do that.
I think he made like a weird moaning noise.
Oh, did he?
Like, he made some type of noise in her ear, and I could have was like a moaning or the teeth grinding thing, but he made some type of noise and it freaked her out.
Yeah, she didn't like whatever it was.
No.
So she drops him off at school and heads to work she works at a nursing home.
And when he gets out of the car, his backpack makes this like loud noise.
Uh-huh. She's like, what's in there?
And he's like, nothing, and runs away. And I'm like, so don't stop him. Let him go into school. Okay, cool. Cool.
Because what would be making that noise, right?
Nothing you should bring to school.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So she gets to her job, and then when she is in the kitchen, we see one of her coworkers, like in the break room of this place. We see one of her coworkers. His name is Robbie. Mm-hmm. He comes in, jokes with her.
He like her.
He does. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, this is where a woman should be or something like in the kitchen. And they both laugh. She leaves. And then as Amelia is helping with another patient, she gets a call from Samuel's school.
Yeah.
So when she goes to the school to speak with the school's administration, he shows her what Samuel brought to school, which was like the slingshot gun thing with a dart as a bullet.
Yeah.
A dart as a bullet.
Yeah. He made this gun that shoots darts and brought it to school. Cool. Okay. Cool, 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 cool.
She's like, I'll just talk to him about it. Yeah. And they're like, oh, here's the thing. This is not the first time that we've done this conversation before. We're going to have somebody monitor Samuel. He's going to be separated from everybody else from a regular classroom.
He's got behavioral issues.
Right. We're going to give him one-on-one attention. It'll be great. She's like, no, that's not going to work for me. He already feels different. Mm-hmm. And then they obviously, like you said, they explain the behavioral problems. And Amelia says that she's just going to pull him out of school and put him somewhere else.
Yeah. So instead of the school rejecting her kid, it's kind of like, I break up with you before you break up with me kind of thing.
Exactly.
Because she's like, well, no, it's fine. I'll just take him out of here and I'll find a different school for him. And I'm like,
I don't think it works that way.
Because even if you put him in a different school, same problems, girl. Because the problem is between you and him, not the school.
Have we talked about therapy or something before, maybe? Just to talk to somebody.
Yeah. Because this kid already deals with his own baggage and his mom's baggage. Like her emotional baggage that she has, he's dealing with it.
Yeah.
Because she has no idea to do their own shit.
Yeah. I think they're just kind of like, they're bad for each other.
They're super codependent on each other. Yeah, yeah. And it's a problem.
Mm. All right. So she takes him out of school and says that because she feels bad. Because she's like, well, you can play on the playground like for the rest of the day for as long as you want.
Mm. He definitely reward her bringing a weapon to school. Reward him for that. Sure. Yeah. Oh my God. She drives me nuts.
He has this mad look on his face and says that Mrs. Bowen hates him. And she tells him not to tell Aunt Claire what happened today. Mm-hmm. She's going to tell her later. So obviously there's some kind of animosity or something between the sisters.
Sure, okay. Sure.
So now we're at a grocery store. Samuel is playing with this little girl like at the checkout area. And Amelia runs over and says not to bother the little girl and her mother. The lady says that they're just leaving to go see their daddy at home, mm-hmm. or the little girl's daddy. And so Samuel does not have appropriate social skills.
Yeah, you don't say.
So you don't say. And tells the lady that his dad is in a cemetery and died on the way to the hospital the day that Samuel was born.
I have a real hard time with that because he's what, 6 years old maybe?
Right.
Why is Amelia telling him in such detail how her husband, his father, died?
I don't know.
Because
there's no way that he can comprehend that.
No. And he obviously knows the words that she is saying to him, but he doesn't know how to unpack that.
No.
And for him to tell her randomly in the grocery store, like, oh yeah, my dad died on the way to the hospital. My mom was giving birth to me. Like, that's a lot for anybody to take in. And she doesn't understand that, like, him repeating that's affecting her too.
Right.
So I'm like, obviously this kid knows his dad's not alive. Mm-hmm. So why do you have to tell him all the details before he's like a teenager?
I don't know.
Why can't you just say he passed away?
I don't know. And if you are going to tell your child that, then they need to go to therapy. Like, you need to know how, like,
and don't say on your birthday. Like, I just say, like, you could just say like he died in a car accident. You could just say something like that. You don't have to give him these full details.
Right.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Hashtag bad parenting.
So awkward.
All right, now we're at the park. Mm-hmm. So Claire and Amelia, they're at the park with the kids. The sister's daughter's name is Ruby. So Ruby is playing in the dirt. Samuel is pretending to smash the monster's head.
Of course, he's a violent child, right?
Because, yeah. So Amelia asks Claire what they're going to be doing on Wednesday for the kids' birthdays because they always have joint birthdays. Mm-hmm. She said that she's going to pick up a cake. And then Claire's like, I hate to tell you this, but Ruby doesn't want a joint party this year. She wants a princess party.
Okay, good for her.
So now there's a weirdness between the sisters.
Yeah, like, because Amelia doesn't want to cope with her own trauma.
Right.
So instead of having a birthday party for her son, she just piggybacks off of her niece Ruby's birthday, so they have to celebrate together.
Right.
So she doesn't have to deal with the birthday and the death of her husband. So you know what? Good for this kid. She should have her own birthday.
Maybe you should be her psychiatrist.
No, I have no patience for this bitch. She would be like, why did I pay you to yell at me? Because you need it. You need to have love.
Go sit over there. Think about what you did. All right. So now Samuel is yelling at his mom very loudly.
He is unruly. He is pissing me off.
Because they're having a conversation. The two sisters are having a conversation.
The entire time Claire and Amelia are talking, he's like, mom, mom, mom. I mean, I'm like, I would have been like, shut the fuck up.
I know. I would have like ripped his self off the thing and I would have just said, listen, this is not the way this works.
No, you're being rude.
You're being rude.
Shut up.
As soon as I'm done. No, you don't say that. As soon as I'm done talking, then it's your turn. Uh-huh. Until then, I'm going to need you to be quiet. Yeah, shut up. Or shut up. You know, whatever. So as he's yelling, he's like climbing higher and higher and higher on the swing set.
Yeah.
And then when she finally looks over at him, he's like literally balancing on the top of the swing set, like on the top bar.
That bar on the top where the swings are hung from. God. He's just standing up there. How did he get down?
I don't know. Because we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
The next scene is them in the car. And yeah. I'm like, how? Doesn't seem safe either way.
No, it doesn't. Uh-uh. Not at all. Okay. Hashtag bad parenting. Okay. So we flash the car and Amelia's driving and Samuel is screaming in the back seat.
Oh, like he's kicking the passenger seat.
Looking real demonic. So they pull up to the house and they are greeted by their neighbor who's sitting on her porch. Her name is Mrs. Roach.
Mm-hmm. She's a pretty sweet old lady.
She's very sweet. Mm-hmm. She asks if he was at war today.
She's like, you look tired.
You've
been at war?
You look tired, little one. You've been in the wars today.
He was.
Which was very odd. Okay. Okay, Mrs. Roach.
And Samuel's like, a few wars. And I thought it was a kind of a cute exchange. Okay.
I had a lot going on today. I was real stressed.
So I did a lot of screaming today.
Right. A lot of kicking. So in the house, their dog is scratching at the door to the basement. Mm-hmm. And then Amelia tries to open the door, but it's locked. And she just walks away, which...
Just not concerned.
Not concerned. Which, I mean, to be honest, would you want to go down there and find out why they're scratching at the door?
Nope.
Or would you walk away?
Walk away.
Okay. So Amelia and Samuel eat dinner that night in a very old, not well-lit kitchen.
Yeah. The whole house is pretty dim.
It's very dim.
Yeah.
It looks old and shabby and not shabby chic.
No.
Shabby.
It's just like dark and depressed like she is.
Wow. Wow, that went deep.
Sorry.
Gosh. Before they get into bed to read a book, they do their nightly ritual, looking in the closets, under the bed, make sure there's no monsters. Mm-hmm. She tells him to go pick a book. He can choose whatever he wants. He chooses this big red book called Mr. Babadook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's like, where'd you get this?
He's like, I don't know. It was just on the shelf. I liked it. It's just red.
Chilling over there.
Where'd you get this? On the shelf.
So she opens a book. It starts off with a statement. It says, it's a word or in a look. You can't get rid of the Babadook.
His name is Mr. Babadook. And this is his book. A rumbling sound, then three sharp knocks. Ba-ba-ba-dook-dook-dook. That's when you'll know he's around. You'll see him if you look.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-dook-dook-dook. Which is weird.
Uh-huh.
Again. So,
yeah.
Anyways, so as she's reading this book, she actually stops reading because it starts getting pretty dark.
Yeah, he freaks out.
He freaks out, but... They keep reading. He's like, you let me pick a book. I want to keep reading.
Yeah, because she suggests like maybe go get another book. And he's like, no.
No, this is the one I chose.
And she does it. And I'm like, why? Just say no.
You're the parent.
Yes.
You're
just say no. We're reading a different book or we're not reading a book at all.
Oh my God.
No, she keeps reading it and it gets worse.
She keeps reading it. She says a few more sentences out loud then starts reading it to herself. And it basically said that once this Babadook comes to visit you, he's not going to leave and you're going to die.
Yeah. He's not going to leave. He's going to try to possess you and bad shit's going to happen.
Okay.
Good job.
This is a real good nighttime story.
Yeah.
So she stopped now because she ends up reading an actual children's book.
Yeah.
But Samuel didn't like it. He's screaming, crying, throwing a fit on her lap.
He's kid. So infuriating.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Samuel goes to bed. Amelia looks more closely at this book and gets really freaked out. Like she continues to read it.
Yeah.
She hides the book on a shelf so that Samuel can't find it because, well, she doesn't want to read that shit again.
No, just throw it out, girl.
Right.
Get rid of it.
Just throw it in the trash.
To hide it. Just get rid of it.
Oh my God. Now she's sitting in the living room with her dog on her lap, watching TV, watching these old black and white movies. These two characters are in love. Mm-hmm. Like I think she feels a little envious about this.
She starts getting a little, I say in quotes, lonely.
Oh, lonely.
Lonely.
What do you mean by that, Stephanie?
I mean that encourages her to go upstairs and find her vibrator.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's tucked away in a little basket.
It sure is. What did you think a random spot for it?
I don't know if I'd put it in a basket.
Basket? Seems so accessible to anybody in a basket.
Right? Don't you want to hide that shit? I guess not.
Nope.
No, so she doesn't.
She gets it.
She climbs into bed, starts taking care of business.
Uh-huh. Starts feeling good about herself. Uh-huh. Good for you, girl.
So in Samuel's room, he wakes up and then pulls a baseball bat from underneath his bed and starts staring at the closet.
God, why does this kid have weapons around him? I don't understand.
So we flash back to Amelia, who's really feeling good right about now. Mm-hmm. And we see that her bedroom door, like, quietly opens by itself. Yeah. Well, not by itself, but it opens. Uh-huh. Samuel, little bitch, jumps onto the bed.
Yeah, she was so close.
I know. God, she was right there. Right there. Just... 2 more seconds. But her demonic son decides to jump on the bed, scare the crap out of her.
Lose her whole feeling.
I know.
Totally lost it.
It's gone. Yep. Just in an instant. Just
that quickly, it's gone.
He tells her that the Babadook is coming to get him.
Ugh, God, I can't stand it.
So she's already tired of the Babadook. I mean, she's like, or this monster or whatever he's been talking about. So he tells her that he doesn't want anything to happen to her and that he's going to protect her. Okay, so she reassures him that nothing's going to happen, and he ends up going to sleep in her bed that night.
Of course.
And as he is sleeping, she's just reading a book, and then hears, like, this rumbling coming from another room.
Yeah.
Like, outside her bedroom door.
Yes.
So she turns off her light and then goes to sleep, like, pulls the blankets over her head, and I'm like, I don't know if that's the reaction that I'd have.
No, but it's the perfect example of how she deals with everything.
Right.
She just pretends it's not there. Yep, exactly right. I'm like, oh, God, okay. Because you would think, and this is an issue that we've talked about throughout this whole movie, is that as a parent, you would think your first instinct would be to protect your kid, right? And it's like, if you hear a weird-ass fucking noise in your house, and it's only you and your son that live there, and he's in your bed, wouldn't you check it out?
You are the protector.
Right.
Of the house.
You don't just, child. Like, pretend it didn't exist and, like, put your head under the blankets.
I just, as scary as it would be, you would have to, like, you'd have to go check it out. You'd have to look. You'd have to.
Yes.
Whatever.
Oh, God. She's so annoying. Whatever.
So we see, like, the camera. Mm-hmm. It's, like, facing towards her. She's, like, it's fast forwarding.
Yeah.
Like, going through her sleep.
The whole night. Mm-hmm.
The bitch didn't move all night. Did a body part not fall asleep? Because if I sleep in the same position all night,
something's like, numb.
My arm is
something's
dead.
Numb.
Leg is dead. Something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nope.
Nope. She got up.
Yeah. But and she was all the way under her blankets the whole time.
Yeah. And then Sam is standing at the end of the bed yelling that it's 9 o'clock. Oh, this bitch is always at the end of her bed staring at her first thing in the morning.
She's so creepy.
I just.
Lock your door. Sam. Just.
Oh, I can't do that either. Okay. We're in a little bit of a predicament. So as they both get dressed, they run out of the house. Mm-hmm. She is on the phone saying that Sam is going to his aunt's for the day and that he is not to talk about monsters.
Sure.
Don't talk about monsters.
Yeah. Nothing about Babadook.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Does he do that?
No, of course not. Of course he doesn't listen to anybody.
We'll get there. So she goes to work at the nursing home. Amelia is hosting a bingo game for all of the...
I said, a bingo game where nobody wins.
No.
Ever.
Ever. She literally just keeps reading numbers because these people, they're like old.
Yeah. The amount of bingo balls that she had, it was like every bingo ball, like every number. I'm like, somebody has to win at this point. No. No one ever wins.
Well, they either can't see or they can't hear. They don't have like a tactile.
Or they fell asleep.
Right.
Something.
It's something.
Yeah. It's the longest bingo game ever.
It's so funny. Then her boss like comes around the corner with this like super judgy face with her arms crossed against her chest. She's not happy with the way that she's doing this because she's kind of making light of it.
She started making up like random letter number combos that don't exist in bingo.
Right.
Just whatever.
It doesn't matter.
No.
So now we're in the break room. Robbie comes in as Amelia is sitting there having coffee and jokingly mentions that the boss didn't like her bingo skills today. They start laughing, whatever. Cute. So he asks if she's okay because she's looking a little worn out, a little run down. Mm-hmm. She said that she's been a little stressed and he just tells her that, you know, he'll cover her if she just wants to go and have some time for herself whatever. So she casually walks out and grabs some ice cream, like an ice cream cone, sits down, enjoys it.
She goes to the mall.
Yep. So then she gets in her car to leave and she sees this man and woman in a car kind of making out. Mm-hmm. Looks a little envious again.
Uh-huh. She's just watching them.
But you know what? She doesn't have her vibrator this time.
Nope.
It's really sad.
So she's just watching.
The woman catches her looking and then awkwardly to kind of deflect everything, she like grabs her phone out of her purse and then she realizes she has 10 missed calls.
From her sister.
From her sister.
Yeah.
who has her child, which is probably not a good sign.
Not when you got that kid.
So she arrives at her sister's house, and her sister is pissed because Samuel keeps talking about this Babadook and scaring the crap out of Ruby. Mm-hmm. So she tells her that she really needs to have, like, she needs to talk to somebody and that this isn't normal, which I'm on her page.
100%.
I'm not on everything that she has to say.
No, just this statement.
Just this statement.
Her tact, not great, but her point, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Samuel snaps back at her, and then when Amelia goes over to yell at him for talking to his aunt that way, he throws a firecracker at her feet.
And then just takes off.
What the... Okay, again, I'm not happy with the reactions here with either person.
Because the kid does not understand respect or boundaries at all.
What is wrong with this kid?
And then in the car on their way home, she asks him where he got the firecrackers, and he says, the internet. And she says, well, that's the end of the internet. And I'm like, bitch, you had to have bought those for him.
Yes.
He's like 6 years old. He doesn't have your credit card and go online and go to like firecrackers.com and buy something.
I wonder if that's a real website.
I don't know. But like, you had to have bought it for him.
Right.
Oh my God. Okay. I can't.
All right. So she starts talking about the Babadook.
Yeah.
She tells him that the Babadook isn't real. And if he was, that he'd be with him right now.
Yeah. She would have seen him.
Right. Okay. Mm. Well, he tells her,
it wants to scare you first, then you'll see it.
But I'm not scared.
You will be when it creeps into your room at night.
That's enough.
You will be when it eats your inside.
I hate that.
She tells him to stop, and if he doesn't, that he's not going to have a birthday this year. Which is, again,
a weird thing to hold over a kid's head, but okay.
His birthday. I mean,
he never has his own birthday anyway, so what's the difference?
I just... All right, so... Now we're at that night.
Yeah.
While Amelia is cooking dinner, Sam is downstairs doing his magic show, scaring the crap out of the dog by throwing firecrackers. The dog runs up from the basement. Amelia sees him come through the door. She doesn't look happy. Uh-huh. And then takes the key to the basement away from Samuel.
Sam. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, how the fuck did you get down here?
But the thing is, did you not know before this very second that he had been going down there and making these contraptions?
But couldn't she hear him while she was making dinner? Like, he's down there putting this whole magic show, making all this goddamn noise, and she's like, he's in the basement? What?
What?
So bizarre.
Oh my God. Uh-huh. I don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just then, there is a knock at the door, uh-huh, and it's Robbie with flowers.
The flirty coworker.
I love that.
Uh-huh.
So he just wanted to check on her and see how she was doing. Mm-hmm. He asks to, you know, to come in and attempts to give Sam a toy since he was sick.
Yeah, he brought like a model airplane because he said that his mom would always give him model airplanes when he was sick. And Sam, who has no people skills, goes, I'm not sick.
Yeah.
And they all just stand there awkwardly in the foyer. Like,
are you sure you're not sick?
I think you are.
Mentally. Maybe. Sam snaps back, mm-hmm, and then his mother lashes out at him, mm-hmm, and then he yells at her saying that she won't let him have a birthday party and that he hates her, and then he runs upstairs, and then Robbie leaves. And that was kind of like it for like the whole entire scene.
Do we know? But like,
can Robbie, we say bye to Robbie? Like,
couldn't he have hung out like a little bit longer?
Right?
Or was he like, this is all where it got to go? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, did he think that she needed to go because that maybe Robbie thought that Samuel was sick? And that's why he took the day for her, like covered for.
No.
We don't know. We don't know.
Inconclusive.
Okay, so Amelia walks down to the basement and sees the mess that Samuel had created.
Yeah, it's like all of her husband's stuff is like boxed in this basement.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere.
It's
totally
scattered.
In shambles. So she's upset because, of course, it's like sentimental stuff of like her husband. Mm-hmm. So it's everywhere. And then when she turns, there's like a weird like men's suit, like, uh-huh, fully assembled, hung on the wall as if a man is standing there, like jacket, yeah, and then pants. And then on the hook, there's a hat and there's shoes, like men's dress shoes underneath the pants, like placed there as if there's a whole person silhouette standing there against the wall.
Yeah.
I did not like that at all.
I didn't like that either.
Because I'm like, did Sam do that? If so, that's fucking creepy.
Yeah.
Because is he putting on this magic show for his dad and that's his dad on the wall?
I don't know. Or creepy. Did the Babadook did it?
I don't know. I don't like it.
Because
it's not the only time we see a whole like person silhouette like that. So
no.
I don't know.
I don't know. Was the Babadook in his suit? I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. So as they're eating dinner that night,
which some like weird like porridge looking thing.
It was some kind of soup-ish.
It looked like milk.
It looks like a potato soup or something like that.
Oh, it looked good to me. And I love potato soup.
I love potatoes.
I love it on potatoes.
So she's eating and she pulls a piece of glass from her mouth.
Yeah, there's like broken glass in her soup.
So she freaks out and she takes the bowl from Sam and kind of digs around. She's like, oh my God, did I put glass in the soup?
Did I try to murder my son?
Oh no. Hashtag bad parenting. So she digs around in his bowl. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
She digs around her bowl again, finds more glass.
Yeah.
So Sam's like, the Babadook did it. And then this isn't good for Sam.
No, it's fine for him because she doesn't. There's no repercussions for him ever.
That's true. Well, she kind of excuses him. She's like, just go.
She tells him to literally go watch a DVD while she makes something different for dinner. Okay, here's the problem I have with that. Even if it was the Babadook, she doesn't believe in it anyway. So the only two people in this house are her and her son.
Right.
So if there's no monster in your house, who's the fucking person putting broken glass in your soup? It's your kid.
It's your kid.
So if you believe he put it in there, you telling him to just leave the table while she makes something different is enabling him trying to hurt you. How is this okay in anyone's brain?
It's not. It's not okay.
You try to murder me, you get no dinner. Bye. I don't get it.
See, I think you're just as angry about this movie as I am.
No, I hate him. Oh. I hate their dynamic.
I know.
Infuriates me.
I get it.
And Samuel, fine. He gets better toward the end of the movie. He redeems himself a little bit.
Right.
But like their dynamic, it makes me crazy. The two of them together, I'm like, I know you've got trauma and no one can take it away from you and you have your own shit to deal with, but you still have to be a parent.
That's true.
Like you don't have to be the best dad, but you still have to be one.
That's your job.
That's literally your job.
Yeah, when you have a child, you're responsible
for
that
child. You gotta be a parent. That's what happens. I can't.
Take a deep breath. All right, so she cleans up dinner and Sam is watching one of his magic show, TV show things. Mm-hmm. And then that night she heads upstairs and Sam is running from her room into his.
Yeah.
And then when she walks into her room, we find a picture of her and her husband. And her husband's face has been scratched out of
it. Like heavily scratched out.
Yeah.
And so, she had like something over her eyes. It was like X's over her eyes or something.
Might have been.
Something was on her face, but his face was like not recognizable in the
picture. So she immediately goes into Sam's room, shows him the picture and says that this is not funny.
Yeah.
So she grabs his catapult monster killer contraption thing that he had made. And then she takes it from him. And then he asks if she wants to die. He takes it back and runs out. What? What?
So I guess his response to her taking his weapon was like, if you take that from me, then there's no way I can save you and you're going to die. And she does nothing about it.
No, she doesn't do anything about it.
Nothing.
Ever. All right. So at the dining table, she's just sitting there. Lights are flickering.
Yeah, weird.
Sam is in his room and the Babadook shows up. Uh-huh. Sam screams. Amelia runs to his bedroom. And then he is like hiding under his bed frozen.
Because his whole entire armoire falls and crashes onto the floor.
Yeah. When she pulls him out from underneath the bed, he starts yelling, don't let it in. Don't let it in. Like over and over and over again. Then she sees the Babadook book.
Yeah.
Okay. So what, Amelia? I'm going to need you to get rid of the Babadook book, please.
Yeah.
He apparently found it, or the Babadook made it appear.
Planted it again somewhere. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
So she rips the pages out of the book, throws the whole thing in the trash.
Yes.
What does ripping the pages have
to do? Maybe just taking out her anger or something. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's just satisfying.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll give her that. So that night, there's like the shadow in the house, and the lamp on the bedside table is like flickering.
Yeah.
She turns it off. But then there are three knocks on her door.
Yeah. So you know what she does?
What does she do?
She just hides under her blankets again. Like nothing's happening. Like la 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 la. No. Can't hear you. Can't see you. Can't hear you. You don't exist.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's it.
That's it.
The next morning, Amelia wakes up.
How do you fall asleep though after that?
I mean,
how?
He told her. He's like, he's going to try to scare you first.
Yes.
And then he's going to eat your insides.
Yeah.
So
he's already creeping you out. Careful with your insides.
Careful. Better watch him. So the next morning, Amelia wakes up with Sam asking if they have to go to Ruby's party because he don't want to go.
No. Well, Ruby's kind of a bitch too. But we get there.
We do. So at the party, Ruby opens her gifts and is very ungrateful when getting the same Barbie that she had gotten, you know, in another present.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know who gave it to her. I'm thinking that it was Amelia, but I'm not sure.
Probably because she was being backhanded like her mom.
Right. Yeah. So Sam is hanging on to Amelia, doesn't really want to let her go. He's just kind of sitting on her lap. And then when the other mothers are kind of looking at her, like, what? Like, what's wrong with him? She's like, he's just tired.
Yeah.
Aren't we all? So she pulls him off of her and tells him to go play because I guess she's feeling like they're targeting her now. So I'm like, this is not going to end well. I feel like he shouldn't be playing with those girls. No. But I mean, who am I to judge? I mean, I do judge. So the mothers are very disrespectful and makes Amelia feel like a real outcast that her husband had died.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it.
Yeah. Because they're being snobby bitches and they're talking about, oh my God, my life is so inconvenient because I couldn't do this thing. Or I mean, it's just bullshit stuff like that.
I know.
Like, it's like people who live a fortunate life and the stuff that they can't do because they had something else. It's just bullshit, right?
It is bullshit.
And then Amelia snaps and she's like, oh, it's a shame you couldn't go to the gym. It's just dumb shit like that. So then we see outside that Sam is like hiding in Ruby's like treehouse.
Yeah.
And Ruby goes up there and this little bitch.
Oh my gosh.
She starts telling Sam that he doesn't have a dad because not even his own dad likes him. And she starts going on this tangent, pisses Sam off, and he pushes her out of the treehouse and she like lands on the ground.
Yeah, the treehouse is probably maybe like 8 feet off the ground.
It's not a super high up treehouse, right, but it's high enough to fall off it to hurt yourself.
Right.
So all anybody sees is him push her out of the treehouse. Not that it's happened.
Right.
But him push her and like her nose is bleeding and Claire freaks out, of course. But of course. I mean, like what parent wouldn't at that point? So Claire freaks out, but then like kind of kicks her and Sam out of the party. Mm-hmm. Like, your son's crazy. Get the fuck up out of here. So they're in the car leaving and Sam is having like another fucking meltdown.
Yes.
She's driving and Sam is sitting in the back seat, like behind the passenger side. And he's looking to his right, like toward the driver's side.
Uh-huh.
And there's literally nothing next to him, but he is screaming, like bloody murder screaming, get out.
Yes.
Help me.
Stop this now.
Get out.
Over and over again to literally nothing in the car next to him. And she's freaking out driving, like, what are you screaming? And he's kicking and screaming. And then he starts convulsing.
Oh my gosh.
Like having a seizure in the back of the car. So she pulls over and like gets him out of the car and lays him on the sidewalk and sees this couple like going for a walk, minding their own damn business. And she's like, call a doctor. I need help. And these people are like, we're just trying to go for a walk, lady. Like, okay.
I just wanted some fresh air. I wasn't expecting all of this. This is too much for me right now. I came out.
It got a little heavy.
All right. So now we're at the doctor's office mm-hmm. and Sam gets checked out. And it's determined that he had a febrile convulsion. Mm-hmm. So he has high levels of anxiety, which, I mean, okay.
Okay.
He recommends a psychiatrist, which I did too.
She should definitely
from the beginning of the
take
movie
him up on that.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
And he tells her it's normal for kids to see monsters. And she's like,
but
like to this degree?
No.
I don't know.
You don't live in my house. You haven't seen what I've seen.
So then Amelia starts asking him if he can prescribe a sedative for Sam.
Right.
Because she's not sleeping. He's not sleeping. They both just need some time to sleep. And he's like, well, I can just write you enough before your next doctor's appointment to like last you for whatever, let's say a week or whatever it is. Uh-huh. And he gives her a prescription so that she can like knock his ass out at night. And I'm like, I don't love that, but okay, you know, it's each their own.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. I mean, that night she gives him, this is the medication that he has to take because he was kind of reluctant to take it.
Yeah.
But she's like, this is what's going to make the Babadook go away.
Yeah.
So you need to take this.
Oh, God.
So the next morning, she wakes up. It's like 11 a.m. looking mm-hmm. well rested.
Mm-hmm.
Sam is still sleeping.
Like, wouldn't you be concerned by that?
Yes.
She didn't care. She like peeked into his room and he was out cold. And she's like, great.
Oh, that's nice.
Perfect morning. 11 a.m.
Well, then
he's like 6 years old.
She hears a knock at the door.
Oh, God, I can't stand it.
And there's no one there.
Of course not.
No.
So she closes the door.
She goes back in.
Uh-huh.
There's another knocking.
But it's louder. Three knocks.
Oh, yeah.
Each time.
Three knocks, yes.
Uh-huh.
When she opens the door the second time, now we see the Mr. Babadook book
uh-huh.
sitting right there on the front porch.
Uh-huh.
She brings it in the house and sees that the pieces that she had ripped apart of the pages
yeah.
has been put back together.
Okay. I know you don't think that's creepy. And I don't necessarily think the book reappearing is creepy because I think we all kind of expect that to happen. But for some reason, the fact that like all the pages were like intricately put back together is unsettling for me. Because it's just like somebody took the time to fuck with her.
That's
you know,
true.
It's like, okay, you try to fuck with me. Here we go, bitch. And like tape them like intricately back together like nothing ever happened. And it's terrible because she starts flipping through the book and there's more pages added to it now.
Uh-huh.
So somebody went in and did more illustrations, wrote some more stuff in there. There's pages now about her.
Uh-huh.
Because when she first started reading the book to Sam. Yeah. Because when she first read to Sam, it was just about Sam and about how the Babadook was coming for Sam. Now, after that, there's pages about her being attacked by the Babadook too.
Uh-huh.
And it's showing illustrations of her killing their dog, Bugsy.
Oh.
And there's another page too of her killing Sam.
Yeah.
And she freaks out, runs outside, and lights the book on fire.
I mean,
how do you come back from fire? You can't.
Right. It's ash, right?
How do you come back from that? Let's see you try that one, Babadook. Let's see.
Take that one. So she calls her sister to talk about what had just happened.
Yeah, because she said that she thinks someone's stalking them.
Right. Well, I don't know if her sister would be the first person I'd call. I'd probably call Robbie because sure. I feel like
he'd be more understanding.
Well, yeah, her sister and her have this kind of thing happening.
Not a great dynamic.
It's not.
No.
It's not.
It's not.
Uh-uh. So, yeah, she basically says that she can't help her. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. You need to call the police.
Right.
Like, if you think somebody's stalking you and, like, leaving these books.
She didn't even pretend to care, though.
She didn't at all.
Because she's saying that, and Amelia's freaked out on the phone, and she's like, I think someone's stalking me and Sam. And she's like, I can't help you.
I
you know who can? The cops. Bye.
See ya.
So she hangs up the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Claire is kind of a bitch to her. And the phone rings. So she answers it thinking that it's Claire calling her back.
Claire. Hello?
Mama. Look. Look. Look.
Ba, ba. Duke, duke, duke. And then she freaks out and hangs up the phone.
Yeah.
Nah, okay.
There's that.
He's still messing with her a little bit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So the next scene, we see her going into the police station to say that somebody was stalking her.
Is Samuel still asleep at this point?
Oh, good question. I'm not sure.
Just thought of it.
Because where
was
he
by herself at the police station.
That's true.
But her six-year-old is at the house
and
still?
We know that he's not with Aunt Claire because, well. Because
she won't allow that.
No.
And
I guess he's been sedated.
Pretty sure that someone's stalking them. So she leaves her child sedated, unattended at home.
Interesting. Didn't even think about that.
That has to be what happened.
It has to be.
He wasn't with her.
No.
Oh, God. Hashtag bad parenting. Okay.
We should do a count. There should be a count.
It'd be a terrible drinking game. People would be hammered.
Oh, my God. Yes. Only halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she tells them that this person gave her this children's book with graphic and violent images.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, can I see the book? And she's like, oh, well, I burned it.
Well, like this cop and the other two behind the counter are kind of laughing at her. Which yes. Says, someone's stalking me and they're messing with me through a children's book. And they're like, okay.
Are you sure?
Are you okay, lady?
So then she also tells him that she's been getting phone calls, but it's just noises on the other end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So now they're really... They're like, okay, I don't know how I can help you.
Uh-huh.
So she looks over her shoulder and she sees the shape of the Babadook hanging on a coat hook.
Yeah, it's like another
on the back wall.
It's more like articles of clothing hanging up somewhere that's like another human silhouette, but like weird looking, like Babadook.
Babadook-y.
Weird looking. Yeah.
It's Babadook-y.
And then she starts getting paranoid. And then she sees the cop looking at her hands covered in ash because she didn't wash her hands at all when she left the house after burning the book. And then she panics and just runs out of the police station.
Okay.
Not looking good for you, girl.
No, you look real crazy. Real crazy.
Look real crazy.
So she goes into the kitchen to start cleaning up at her house and notices a cockroach on her shoulder.
Okay. Ugh.
She knocks it off.
Yeah.
She sees a line of them walking across the floor from underneath the refrigerator.
Gross.
She moves the refrigerator, peels back the wallpaper where like it's kind of beginning to like peel a little bit.
Yeah.
Like where like they're the put glue's together.
Coming off. Yeah.
And then she finds like this 4x2 hole that these cockroaches are flooding out of.
Yeah, super gross.
She scrubs the entire kitchen, which, hey, I'm on board with.
Here for you, girl.
Ew. Can you imagine? Cockroach poop?
No.
I'm not interested.
Gross.
That's so dirty.
Everything about it's gross.
And I know you love cockroaches.
Blech.
So Amelia gets a knock at the door.
Uh-huh.
We have two people from the Department of Community Services there.
Yeah.
They tell her that she just needs to sign some papers and that they need to see Sam. Because apparently, you know, he was taken out of school. He's
and
not
he hasn't
enrolled
been back.
Anywhere. Mm-hmm. Right. So they come in and one of the people's names is, her name is Prue. And she sees Samuel like just laying on the couch. Mm-hmm. He says that he is a bit tired from the drugs that his mom gave him. I mean, if there wasn't any more perfect timing uh-huh. of that statement yeah. to a awkward. Social services person. Uh-huh. Oh my God.
So then Prue asks Amelia, like, can you get me a glass of water? And I thought she was asking her to leave yes, the room.
So she could talk to him.
Right. But that's not what happened. No. She follows her into the kitchen. And I'm thinking like, I thought you'd want to talk to the kid who said his mom's drugging him. But no. Okay.
Okay. We don't care.
No. So as they're walking into the kitchen, Amelia apologizes for the mess. And she's like, I've been cleaning the kitchen. Like I had to pull my fridge out. There were some bugs behind it. And as soon as they walk into the kitchen, nothing.
There's no hole
the
in the wall.
The fridge is not. Yeah. There's no hole in the wall. The wallpaper's not messy. I mean, it's not peeling off the wall.
Right.
There is nothing wrong with the kitchen. So she looked crazy.
She is crazy.
She don't look good.
No. Mm-mm. No. And they're like, oh, well, maybe we've come at a bad time. Yeah. They can see that Amelia's a little
distressed.
A little bit.
Yeah.
They give her the papers, tell her that they will be back in about a week.
Doesn't that seem like you're there at the right time if you're like a social worker or caseworker?
Right. And the child that you're going to check on says that his mother's been giving
yeah,
him
definitely
drugs.
Come back in a week. Definitely take 7 days before you make sure that kid's okay. I just... Okay.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
As a society, mm-hmm. I don't feel like that is acceptable.
Yeah. Not really the kid's best interest there, but okay.
So as Amelia is washing dishes, mm-hmm. she looks over at her neighbor's house as she can see her sitting there watching TV. So she's like creeping on her neighbor, which
is
Mrs.
weird. Yeah, Mrs. Roach, just leave her alone. She doesn't want any of your drama, okay?
No, obviously she's done this many times. Mm-hmm. She kind of has this like a little smile on her face and she gets to see this, you know, Mrs. Roach mm-hmm. just chilling, whatever. She looks down and when she looks back up, she sees a large figure standing in a doorway mm-hmm. in Mrs. Roach's house.
I didn't love that.
No, mm-mm. I didn't like that either.
Didn't love it.
No. She somehow breaks the bowl that she was just washing.
Yeah, she's like scrubbing it like crazy. Just right. breaks it.
It just breaks it. Then when she looks back up, the figure is gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the Babadook's fucking with her.
So do you think maybe you should go check on Mrs. Roach?
No, she doesn't.
No. Because she doesn't care about anybody.
No.
Okay. So Amelia reads Sam a book before bed, mm-hmm. like she always does.
Yep.
He falls asleep. But I think it was a normal children's book this time.
Good.
Great.
Good job.
Good.
Appropriate.
Appropriate. As she's laying in bed, she hears a dragging sound.
It's like metal scraping.
Yes. Like on the floor, like right outside her bedroom door, the dog is barking.
Mm-hmm. Never a good sign.
No. Mm-mm. So she goes to let the dog in. So mm-hmm. she actually does get up and pull the covers over her head like she normally does. Uh-huh. When she gets back in bed, she hears the dragging sound again because she thought it was just a dog doing something.
And I'm like, how could your dog make a metal noise?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
So again, she's. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this time it gets closer and then the door opens. Something comes in and says,
Mama.
Did it say Babadook?
Yeah, it does.
Babadook.
But it's in a weird voice.
Yes. She uncovers her head because she had covered it now.
Yeah.
And the Babadook thing is on the ceiling.
On her fucking ceiling.
Jumps down her throat.
Yeah.
And then she gets up, turns all the lights on, grabs Sam, and they run downstairs. Okay.
Okay, cool.
No. Okay. So mm-hmm. as she's watching TV, like nothing's good is going to come from this. The Babadook is inside her now.
Yes. It's like possessing her.
Right.
Okay.
So as she's watching TV, she sees this random creepy show. The Babadook is in it.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like she's seeing him in every show she's watching on this like late night TV because she's
fucking
up
mother.
Literally an entire night. She doesn't sleep one wink.
She looks like shit.
She's staring at the TV the entire night.
Yes.
And she's watching all these creepy like black and white shows. Like they're old timey and creepy.
This is like 2014.
Yes, girl. Come on. Come on.
So she calls in to work mm-hmm. the next day and says that she can't go in. She isn't feeling well. Mm-hmm. She doesn't look well.
No.
So she climbs back in bed and then Sam comes in and says that he doesn't feel well mm-hmm. and that he needs something to eat. Mm-hmm. She snaps at him.
Oh, I love it.
Tells him to stop talking so much. And then she tells him that if he is so hungry, then he can eat shit. Okay. Cute. Hashtag bad parenting.
That one I think was the Babadook talking. But I was like, okay. Because if you're Sam and your mom is a fucking pushover and all of a sudden she's like, eat shit. You're like, what the hell?
Like, where'd that come
from?
But
it made me openly laugh because like I wasn't expecting it. And I was like, damn, girl. Okay. Shoot, that's a little much. Even from me, that's a lot.
I know. Okay, I felt
so talking to your kids still.
I felt bad for Sam.
Like, tough love, but that's a lot. That's hard. That's a lot.
Yeah, stop talking so much and go eat shit. Okay. Okay, so she feels bad now as she, like, he leaves the room, like, obviously, so sad.
Yeah.
So she comes into his room.
His mom yelled at him, like, the first time in 6 years. I know. Yeah.
He's curled up in a corner in his room and doesn't want her to touch him. Mm-hmm. Like, she tells him that they can go to Wally's. I don't know what Wally's is.
It's apparently this restaurant that kids, like a kid-friendly. I don't know. It looked awful.
Whatever. He can have ice cream for breakfast. You know, whatever it is. Ugh. She's going to give him whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. So they go to this Wally's.
And they are at Wally's. Yeah. And there's like kids screaming in the booth behind them. Oh, and just, they look miserable. It looks fucking awful. No one had fun. Definitely not.
I didn't have fun.
No, it looks uncomfortable. And they get back in the car. And I guess they're driving home. And as Amelia's driving, she sees like these roaches on the seat and then like on her.
Yes.
And she starts freaking out trying to get these roaches off of her. And she looks in her rearview mirror and sees like the Babadook like kind of like going above her car.
Uh-huh.
And she starts swerving and then she crashes into another car. And the guy gets out and he's like yelling at her.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He's pissed.
Uh-huh.
And she just like puts the car in reverse, gets up out of there and just drives away. Just leaves the scene of a crime.
I don't know if you can do that.
No, that's definitely illegal.
I don't think.
In the States it is. And I'm sure in England it is too. Oh, no, they were in Australia, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
They're in Australia. So I'm sure in Australia you can't just have like a hit and run situation. That's definitely illegal here.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
You're responsible if you hit someone else's car. Nope. Amelia doesn't deal with responsibility. She puts a blanket over it and just moves the fuck on.
She really does. Uh-huh. In every sense of the word.
Every time.
Yes.
Yeah. She's like, uh-uh, not today.
Not today.
Nope.
Or ever.
Gotta get out of here.
So when they get home, Amelia just sits in a tub fully clothed.
Yeah.
In a tub of water.
She's like in a trance.
She's
freaking weird.
She's lost her fucking mind.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam comes in, sits in the tub fully clothed with her.
Yeah, because she like picks up and puts them there. And they're just like staring at each other in a tub full of water, fully clothed.
I don't.
Okay.
All right. So she goes to lay in bed.
Yeah.
With a ukulele.
Yeah. Some type of stringed instrument. She like grabs it. I don't know if it was like a violin or something. I don't know what it was.
Okay.
But she got it from the basement. So I'm assuming it's her husband's.
Right.
And she just like spoons with it in bed. And then Sam says that he thinks that they should sleep somewhere else tonight.
Uh-huh.
And she said that she's not leaving and just wants to sleep. And she snaps at him again.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs away. And she just passes the fuck out.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Hashtag bad parenting.
Yeah. So okay. As she's sleeping.
Yes.
She hears like this whispering kind of like over and over again about somebody saying there's someone in the house.
Uh-huh.
Like a lot.
Uh-huh.
There's someone in the house. And then she just like wakes up abruptly. And she walks down the stairs, and as she's going down the stairs, she still hears, like, this whispering sound. But it sounded like a couple of people talking. It was weird. She gets to the kitchen and sees Sam on the phone. And he's on the phone with Mrs. Roach next door asking if they can spend the night at her house. She freaks out.
She takes that phone away from him real quick.
Yes. She apologizes to Mrs. Roach, blames it all on Sam being crazy. Hangs up on her, and then she takes the batteries out of the phone, grabs a knife, like a freaking giant knife.
A butcher knife?
Yes. Goes up to their landline phone and takes the phone cord, like the cable, and slices it. The entire phone line.
Yeah. She's like swinging that thing around too.
Yes.
I was like, what is happening right now?
She's snapping. And then Sam says to her that he knows that the Babadook made her crash the car. And he just wanted to make sure that like she's okay. He's trying to protect her. This is where he kind of like starts to change his character a little bit. Because his whole mission is to protect his mom, keep her alive, whatever, whatever. So she said that she will make sure that nothing gets out of that house tonight. Nothing.
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 So she gets real crazy. She goes, she locks all the doors, all the windows.
Why were all of them open and unlocked anyway?
I don't know.
The doors were closed, but like every goddamn window was open and everything was unlocked.
Lock your doors.
Even if you thought you had a stalker.
Right.
Why is every window open in your house? Like you could just climb up in their home. Whatever. Okay.
Sam goes to his room.
Yeah.
He's preparing for battle.
He grabs some weapons and hides.
Yes, he does. Sam says that he doesn't want to take the sedative tonight.
Right.
She says that he has to. He hides the pill when she does and pretends to take it.
Because he's a magician. He's got sleight of hand.
He does. Sleight of hand. He really does. Yeah, you're right.
He's got some Penn and Teller shit going on.
Okay. God. So she is sitting very...
Partially awake, maybe?
No,
kind
no.
Kind of zombied?
No, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. She's sitting down there watching TV in the living room. When she looks over to the couch and she sees a bloody Sam laying there, she freaks. Sam yells at her from behind the couch,
yeah,
where she's not seeing him, like in the opposite direction. It's a figment of her imagination, and she's like holding a butcher knife. Oh my God.
Yeah.
She's crazy.
So was her like image of him being bloody, her killing him with a butcher knife?
I think that was in her mind.
Yeah.
Like she had done that.
That she killed him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay.
So she goes to her bedroom, perches on a chair in her room, and looks like a hot mess. Like she is like...
She's creeping everybody out.
She's creeping me out.
Yeah.
The dog comes in and starts barking at her and runs away. And then she runs in with ice cream for her and Sam. Okay. So there's a lot going on.
It's mixed messages.
She's having a serious mental breakdown at this point. Okay.
Because she had this dream kind of illusion that she murdered her son. So when she got out of this trance, she's like trying to overcompensate for this vision she had and was like, ice cream!
Ice cream! Middle of the night, here, ice cream!
Okay.
Okay.
Like, didn't you just try to drug him? Okay. Okay, whatever. Cool. Cool.
He's going to fall asleep with ice cream in his mouth. That can't be good.
Oh my God.
So she is trying not to sleep and watches TV. She stops on this news report about a woman who killed her son with a knife, like a kitchen knife, then attacked the officers and shot her to death.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and the image of outside the house on this news channel is her house.
It's her house. And she's in the window.
Yeah, they zoom in on the window and she's sitting with a creepy fucking look on her face.
Right.
She's sitting in the corner of the window looking out the window.
Okay.
That's what she's seeing on TV. It's like her own murder of her son. That's what the Babadook book was saying, that she was going to kill her kid.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So then the lights go out.
Of course they do.
Sam is behind her and tells her to wake up in a very muffled voice. Yeah. Like, that's all she can hear. So he goes down to the basement. She follows and finds her husband down there.
Yeah.
They embrace.
I know.
She misses him. I know she does miss him. He says that they can be together, but she just needs to bring him the boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the first time he says it, it's his voice.
Yeah.
He says it again, and it's not his voice.
Yeah. She kind of backs away. Yeah. Not like in a demonic voice that says, you can bring me the boy over and over again. She runs back upstairs. The lights are flickering. They go out. Then she turns around and we see this tall, large Babadook in this dark hallway.
Yeah.
She runs upstairs to her bedroom and is attacked by the Babadook.
Yeah. Because the room that she runs into has like a fireplace in it.
Right.
Okay, cool. And then she's like leaning kind of near it. And then this like trench coat and like a hat fall through the fireplace. And apparently all she can do at this point is crawl, because she's like yelling and slow-mo crawling across the floor to try to get to the closed door.
Uh-huh.
And this like trench coat and hat like come together and form a Babadook. And it's like somehow now attacking her.
I don't know. And then we see downstairs, we see Amelia sitting in a chair in the living room.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's like twitching.
She's twitching.
Okay.
Heavy. I said twitching and heavy breathing.
More mouth noises.
More mouth noises. Okay. The dog starts barking at her.
Yeah.
She chases the dog into the kitchen.
Because now she's awake now.
Now she's awake.
Ugh.
She chases the dog into the kitchen. And then she breaks his neck. Like she picks him up by the neck.
I didn't watch it.
It was sad.
I didn't watch it. I knew at least one of the stories was going to come true. I had a feeling that when I saw that part, I was like, okay, I have a feeling the dog is going to go. Like, I don't want it to. I never want the animals to go ever.
I know.
Especially puppies.
It was in the book.
Yes, but I was like... I mean, obviously the dog death was before her son's death. So I was like, okay, well, that one's definitely going to come true because we don't know what's going to happen with her and her son yet.
Right.
I just didn't want it to.
Well, it did.
I hate it.
Unfortunately.
You know, poor Bugsy.
I know. Poor little Bugsy.
Mm-hmm.
So then she sticks her fingers in her mouth.
Yeah.
Rips out a tooth.
Like a molar.
What?
Why?
What? I don't.
And it's like, it wasn't like it was loose. Like, she had to put some effort into ripping it out of her mouth.
There were sounds.
Ouch.
There were sounds.
Ooh.
So when she walks out of the kitchen, she sees Sam upstairs and starts chasing him.
Oh, God.
He locks the door on her and won't let her in, which, understandable.
Good for you, kid.
Yep. So she climbs on the door and busts it in. Like, she, like, hangs
on, like, the door frame.
From the frame.
And she's, like, kicking it with her feet. And she starts saying Sam, but it's not her voice. Like, she's yelling to him, but it's not her normal talking voice.
Yeah.
And she's banging on the door. And then before he, like, answers the door, she goes back to her voice. And she says that,
Samuel, Bugsy's hurt. We need to get help. You don't want him to die, do you? Samuel, are you listening to me? Let me in, you little shit! Let me in! Let me in! Let me in! Let me in!
Her voice gets crazy again.
I know.
And she smashes through the door.
Then she, when she gets in the room, she spots him, and then he ends up wetting himself.
No.
Like, he pees all over himself.
And then she starts
so
mocking him.
Yes.
Because he's scared and peed himself. I would! I'd pee myself if I was that scared. Hell yeah. And she starts making fun of him.
Yeah. And she tells him how she wishes it was him that had died and not her husband. Okay.
But this brave kid yells to her that you're not my mother and takes one of those firecrackers and on the floor. Distraction.
Distraction.
And he runs and hides someplace else.
He grabs his monster killing machine too.
He sure does.
He sure does.
Catapult backpack.
That's right. So Amelia hears a knock at the door and sees Mrs. Roach.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So she just wanted to make sure that she was okay. Like, I feel like this is in the middle of the night, so I don't know why Mrs. Roach is still awake. And like,
maybe she couldn't sleep because of the call she got from Sam.
Maybe. I didn't think about
that. Because if he called her asking if they can sleep there, then she's probably knows something's up.
Yeah. And obviously it wasn't Amelia that called her.
Yeah.
It was
And she's got to hear them yelling and banging if they're like that close to the houses.
Yeah. I don't know. So she went over to make sure she was okay.
Yeah.
And she's like, she knows that this is the time of year that's especially hard for her.
Yeah, she's so sweet.
She says that she loves them both and would do anything for them. And
no.
I'm like, Mrs. Roach.
She's so sweet.
She's so sweet. Amelia comes in the kitchen and says that she is sorry to Sam. Like, she's basically, she had already shooed Mrs. Roach away.
Yes.
She's like, I'm good. We're good. Whatever.
Yeah.
She goes back into the kitchen, says she's sorry to Sam, and tells him that she is sick.
Mm-hmm.
She said that they are going to go stay at Mrs. Roach's house tonight and that she wants him to meet his dad.
Uh-oh.
I don't feel like those two things go together.
No. Because she's now kneeling on the kitchen floor in front of Sam trying to, like, facade coax him into going with her.
Uh-huh.
So Sam somehow got one of those giant butcher knives and stabs her right in the thigh.
I was impressed.
Good for him.
I know.
I don't know how he did it. And he stabs her and she yells and he runs into the goddamn basement.
Ugh.
At this time I was mad. I get why in a little while.
Yeah.
But I was like, why? Go out the front door. Go to Mrs. Roach's house. Anything. She pulls that fucking knife out of her leg.
Yeah.
Ugh. Blah. No. No.
All right. So she runs down to the basement after him. She is trapped.
Booby trapped.
Like, he had planned all along. Like, he's got this rope that she, like, fell over.
Yeah, and he had this entire... It was kind of like when we watched the Freddy Krueger one where, like, they set up that entire, like,
it's
scenario.
Like a montage.
Yes. It kind of felt like that because he ran down to the basement to get her to chase him down there where he had all this shit set up.
Yeah.
So once she starts going down the stairs, he pulled the tripwire and she tripped and like smashed her head on this very low ceiling part onto like the concrete of it.
Yeah.
And tripped down the stairs and fell. And I'm like, that was pretty smart.
I know.
Good for him.
He'd been planning this shit for like how many years?
I know it.
He's crazy.
He knew it was happening.
I don't know.
Boy.
So now we see that she is strapped down to the floor with ropes.
Yeah, because she got like knocked out when she smashed her head.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he had strapped her down, which was very impressive.
And it was like very intricate too. Like how he like tied her and like all these different ropes. And I'm like, how?
I don't know. And how did you know it was going to work? I don't know.
Okay. At six, I would have been like, a bow? I don't know.
Will a bow work? I put him in my hair.
It looks pretty, whatever.
So he tries to talk to his mom and knows that she is in there.
Yes.
He tells her that he has to get the Babadook out and doesn't want her to go away. And I'm like, that's so sad.
He's just trying to protect her and he loves her. Ugh.
He gets close enough for her to grab him.
And she wiggles her hand free.
Yeah. And she begins to strangle him.
Uh-oh.
He pats her face and then she lets him go.
Yeah, like while he's being choked, he starts like slowly like caressing like the side of her face. And somehow it like made her come through over the Babadook and she like let him go.
I guess there's like an internal turmoil between her and the Babadook.
I guess. And then she starts like convulsing again and then starts throwing up all this.
Oh my God.
I said was a massive amount of ink. It just looks like black ink. Like so gallons coming out of her mouth. Like so much ink.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ink. Okay. She's like an octopus.
Okay. That's true. And then she passes out.
Yeah.
So she wakes up. He goes over to hug her.
Yeah. So once she wakes up, they're like hugging each other in the basement. And I guess Sam automatically believes that she's like, okay now, whatever.
Yeah, I guess.
So they like leave the basement together and they get up to like their living room. And I'm thinking to myself before that, like, she's covered in this weird ink shit. Her thigh is bleeding. He got strangled. Like, how do you explain that to anybody?
You can't.
Okay.
You can't.
So then they're talking before, I guess she's apologizing to him. And then Sam says to her that you can never get rid of the Babadook. Like, he's still there in the house.
Right.
And as he's saying this, out of nowhere, Sam gets grabbed by something that we can't see.
Right.
Dragged up the stairs, around the corner, and, like, closed into some type of room. Like, okay.
What happened?
But she, like, for a girl who's stabbed in the thigh, she chases him up the stairs pretty quickly.
Yeah, she does.
And she goes, I think it was into her bedroom.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she sees Sam being, like, thrown against the wall.
Repeatedly.
And, like, all over the goddamn place. She's hitting everything. She grabs him. She, like, lays on the bed with him and she's, like, holding him down. And she's screaming, like, what do you want? Like, to the Babadook.
Yeah.
Like, yelling out there, what do you want? She looks to, like, this back part of her room, which looks gigantic all of a sudden.
Right? Like, it's a big dark area.
All of a sudden, this room is huge and it's, like, complete darkness. And then we see her husband, who I have in my notes, his name is Oscar.
Oh.
Who the fuck knew?
Who knew? I don't even know if I heard that.
I'm gonna go with it.
I love it.
I said, we see Oscar. Cool.
Cool.
He comes like walking out of the darkness and keeps repeating to her, like, keep breathing. We're almost there. And he says about, like, I think it's gonna rain, which must have been the conversation they were having in the car when she was like in labor.
Uh-huh.
And then we see his head get sliced off.
It really does.
Like we don't see anything cut it. It just falls off his body.
Falls off. And then he disappears.
Yeah. And then I have my notes. We hear weird T-Rex noises. Because it was not a recognizable sound at all. And it was like coming out of that darkness. And I'm like, why are we hearing dinosaur noises?
That's a good question.
It sounded like Jurassic Park and I don't know what's happening.
I love that.
Okay.
Okay.
So then she starts yelling at the T-Rex noises saying, you are nothing. You're nothing. This is my house. You're trespassing in my house. And oh, now you got balls. Got it.
Right.
Cool girl.
Oh, you're not going to pull the blanket over your head like you normally do?
Right. I guess that's what the whole point of this was, for her to grow a pair, but whatever. Fine.
Right.
And then she starts yelling, if you touch my son again, I'll fucking kill you. I liked it. I liked it.
You liked the anger.
I'm like, good.
Yeah.
Be passionate. Protect your child.
That's
good for you, bitch.
What you're supposed to do.
We're supposed to do that years ago. Whatever. Okay. Because I guess she like sees something back there, which we assume is the Babadook.
I think so. We hear some like hissing and stuff.
Yeah. More T-Rex noises.
More T-Rex noises.
Yeah.
Well, he comes closer and tells him he is nothing.
Yeah.
The Babadook grows larger. The house begins to like crack.
And like shake and
wind picks up.
Real windy.
Real windy in the house.
Real windy. Weird.
She yells at him. And the next thing we know is that the Babadook is laying on the ground and she walks towards him.
Yeah. Like all of a sudden now it's like collapsed and she's like, oh, I think I'll approach it. It was just like growing and growing and making T-Rex noises and you yelling at it makes it like, ooh, shrivel up, fine.
But
now, okay.
Okay.
So it's on the ground and it's making like moaning noises.
Yeah. And it screams at her.
Yeah. It's like screeching.
Yeah. Runs down the stairs to the basement and then locks the door.
And we don't see the figure. We just see like the camera view.
Yes.
And it's like retreating fast down the stairs and into the basement. And I'm like, the fuck just happened?
Okay. What? With a bunch of questions.
She is finally doing what she's supposed to do and standing up to the Babadook, which may just be like standing up to her emotional shit. Cool. Fine. Right. She's getting over her shit. And then the Babadook, for whatever reason, is now like a house pet. And it's like in their basement? Like, I don't understand. Like, why is it in the basement? Did it always live in the basement?
Maybe. Is the Babadook, is it her husband?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have the answers to the questions.
Well, because, okay, we did an episode with SP Film Viewers, another podcast, a podcast friend of ours.
Yes.
And we talked about this movie, and they had a really good point. We were talking about it, about maybe the Babadook is some type of, like, emotional turmoil that anybody has. So maybe for this family, like, the Babadook is appearing in, like, Oscar the husband's form because that's something as a family that they can't get over. They have to deal with. It's their trauma and their baggage.
Yeah.
So maybe the Babadook just feeds off of people's, like, emotional weaknesses.
Maybe.
So maybe if it was, like, a different family living there and they had some other type of, like, trauma, then maybe it would take form of that.
Maybe. I mean, it was a good point that they had brought up. But we don't know.
I don't know. It's not clear. It's a really cool point. If that's the angle, that's super interesting. I just don't know. Because, like, now it's in the basement. And, like, Sam and Amelia are, like, hugging each other. And, like, everything's cool now.
Yeah, even though,
like,
normal.
The Babadook's living in their basement. Whatever.
So, Amelia picks Sam up from Mrs. Roach's house.
Yeah, like, next day, sun is out.
Everything's
cool. Nothing happened. No one got stabbed in the thigh or choked. No. It's fine.
Everything's
fine.
The community service people that come in and check on Sam. He's enrolled in
Peachy.
New school.
Great.
We see a birthday party banner hanging up in the house.
Yeah.
We know we've had a party or going to have a party.
For Sam.
Mm-hmm. For Sam, yep. So he goes out to play outside and she goes down into the cellar with a bowl of worms.
Yeah.
Earthworms.
So while he's playing outside, they did a little gardening together.
Oh, they
collected an entire bowl of earthworms and dirt.
Yes, they did.
So she brings it into the basement. And when she unlocks the door, it has like 80 fucking locks around this door. She gets down there and like puts the bowl on the floor. And then like all of a sudden, we don't see the Babadook, but the camera like rushes at her to attack her. But like ever so calmly, as if it's a dog, she's like, shh, 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 it's okay. Easy, buddy. It's okay. Like softly speaking
to this thing
in her basement that is a house pet now because she's feeding it.
Right.
Because if you feed it, it definitely won't go away.
How did she know it liked earthworms?
That's my thought, too, is like, who stumbled upon earthworms?
How do you know that is the go-to?
Like, why would that ever be? And they collected a lot. It was a whole bowl full of earthworms.
It's gross.
So gross. Who has that many in their garden? Fine. Whatever. Not the point. But somehow, it likes the earthworms and it likes her talking calmly to it.
Uh-huh.
It's okay. It leaves her alone and it takes the bowl of earthworms almost like, it's fine. I'll eat my snack. And then like storms off into the dark part of the basement.
Yes.
And now we flash to like Amelia and Sam hanging out in their garden, having a little picnic together. He's doing some magic tricks and like, that's it.
Okay.
Understand. Like, it has to always, I guess, be in the house.
Listen, this movie infuriates
me.
It's
a pet.
It's
a pet.
It's a pet Babadook.
Like, can they never move now?
Well, I bet you if they did move, everything would be fine.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they should just leave.
Well, maybe, because maybe it needs to attach to somebody else.
Yeah.
Isn't that something that you need to disclose when you're selling a house? That there's a Babadook in my
basement?
There
was no murder happening here, but it's definitely haunted. You're buying a house with a ghost in the basement.
You're going to need to provide extra earthworms.
Yeah. Keep all those locks locked.
Yes.
Because if not, he's going to wreak havoc on your house.
Here's the thing. Well, what if she didn't go down there and give the Babadook earthworms?
Like, why are we feeding it?
I don't know.
Like, why do we want it to be healthy and grow? I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't have answers to the questions.
It's a lot of unanswered questions. Mm. I have some fun facts, though.
Oh, what are they?
Okay. The director, Jennifer Kent, which I love that, female director.
Yeah.
Good for you, girl.
Girl power.
She holds all the rights to the film. And when she was asked if there was ever going to be a sequel, she said, and I quote, "I will never allow any sequel to be made because it's not that kind of film. I don't care how much I am offered. It's just not going to happen."
Wow.
Good for you, girl.
Man.
But like, a sequel wouldn't make sense.
No.
Because like, it would be a different family, but the same haunting. Like, we know what the Babadook does. Like, the Three Knocks, Babadook, cool, whatever. Like, it wouldn't change.
Is there a new red book that's not ripped to shreds?
It would be a new red book for like the people living there, but it's the same thing.
I know.
You know, it's like, a sequel wouldn't be fun.
Like, I already knew the story.
Yeah, boring. Just leave it at one. Okay, next one. In Hebrew, Babadook means he is coming for sure.
Oh.
I don't love that.
He's coming.
Okay, I don't think you're going to like this fun fact.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm sorry if I slur this guy's name because I'm not really good at names. His name is William Friedkin, I'm going to say.
Okay.
He's the director of The Exorcist from 1973.
Okay.
And this is what he said about the film. Quote, "I've never seen a more terrifying film than The Babadook."
Dear God. Did you watch your own movie?
I was going to say, you know something more terrifying? You created The Exorcist.
Yeah. I'm going to say that The Exorcist is way better than this movie
is. Yeah, the movie was creepy.
Yeah.
I knew you weren't going to like that one.
Yeah, you know I didn't.
This was the debut theatrical film for the director, Jennifer Kent.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Good for her.
I'm just saying. I'm going to have a lot of haters.
I think way she directed it was fine.
Sure.
Like, it was cool angles, well done. You just didn't like what she wrote.
I didn't like the storyline.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't my thing.
I have one last one.
Okay. Oh, so many.
In the birthday party scene, the adults all are wearing black or shades of grayish black. The boys are all wearing blue and all the little girls are wearing pink. But Amelia, however, is wearing a pink dress with a black coat.
Oh.
I don't know.
Okay.
That sounds interesting. I always think it's interesting when like little details like that are always like thought out and done intentionally.
I'm sure that was still on purpose. Yeah, absolutely.
So I always like when things like that are like intentionally done with like certain color or anything like that in a movie.
It's kind of cool to be a director to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you watching next week?
What are we watching next week?
I think you're going to be happier with this.
Okay.
I can't wait. Think I will be.
Oh, that's even better.
It's 28 Days Later.
Oh, I feel like I've heard about this movie.
Uh-huh. And I kept referring to it as a zombie movie. And my husband's like, it's not a zombie movie. It's a virus movie. And I'm like, it sounds like the same thing to me. But okay. Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Of course.
4 weeks after a mysterious, incurable virus spreads through the UK, a handful of survivors try to find sanctuary.
Okay.
It sounds like a zombie movie to me.
I guess we're gonna find out.
It doesn't sound good. You know how I feel about zombies.
I love zombies.
I know it. All right, couple reminders, guys. TipsyPod.com has everything for our show on there. You can listen to our episodes on there too.
Yes, you can.
So even if you don't want to go to Spotify or Apple or whatever, you can listen to it on our website. They're always updated.
Get on there.
Get on the website. There's so much good stuff on there, ways to support our show, merch, Patreon. Also, our social medias are on there. You can rate and review and subscribe. We also have a YouTube contest going on.
Yes, we do.
So we want to get to 100 subscribers on YouTube. And we're pretty close.
We are close.
So we just need you guys get on YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And what we're going to do is the first 100 subscribers, we're going to pick 5 people at random. And we have 5 different Funko Pops that we are going to give you as a prize for winning.
Everybody loves Funko Pops.
Right? They're so cute. We've got 3 of them on our shelf.
Yeah, we do because we're hoarders. It's fine.
But they're cute. Like a Gizmo. He's like waving at us. He's so cute.
Gizmo.
So you get to pick your Funko Pop in the order that we pick your name. And Dustin has convinced us to do a live reveal.
Oh, Dustin.
Of the winners.
Of course.
So we will pick the 5 people at random live and we will announce you and you'll get to pick your Funko Pop. And we've got pictures on all of our social media of the Funko Pops that we are raffling off. So check it out and subscribe.
Yep.
We also are going to read a 5-star review that we have.
Oh, we have a lovely person here. Who is this?
It is Rocky For Real. And
hey,
it's
Rocky.
From Apple Podcast. Thanks for doing this. It says, they're also so fun. Stephanie and Courtney, even though the nature of their podcast is the scary things that they watch, their bubbly disposition lets their listeners have the best of both worlds. It's our goal, girl. It's our goal.
Absolutely.
Their recaps are detailed with sprinkles of giggles in between.
That's true.
A must listen for the scary lover who loves to have a good time. Thanks, Rocky, for real.
Thank you.
You are for real. Legit.
You're so nice.
So if you guys want to write a review, we will read it.
Oh my gosh. I love hearing reviews.
I know. It's so nice. It's good feedback.
I know.
Like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So watch 28 Days Later.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, come back next week.
Okay. I mean, I'll be here next week.
Me too. It's a date.
It's a date. Same place, same time.
Bye.
Bye.
So excited.
So I'm going to try to keep my positivity up.
Well, you may want to say like, okay, let's hop in. Because you're like, all right.
All right. Let's
I guess I'll
this.
Get started.
Can we just get through this? Can we just wrap it up? Can we be done?
Are we done?
Okay, bye, guys.
We'll watch you next week.
See ya. So Samuel. Samuel snaps.
Samuel.
Samuel. So,
Claire's kind of a bitch.
Claire. Oh, is that in your notes?
Yeah, I wrote Claire's a bitch.
She's having a literal mental breakdown.
Be quiet, laptop. Be quiet.